The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, those two Monday Night Football games were pretty much a snooze fest, in my opinion. So let's get right into those two games, if you could call it. They were like such a slow crawl to the end. It was just insane. Like in the Pittsburgh-Cleveland game, I was like, oh my God, is this game like ever ending? It was just, oh, it took forever. But anyways, let's start off with the New Orleans Saints at the Carolina Panthers. As I had said on Monday's show, I felt like it was going to be a defensive battle, and it was a defensive battle between both teams. Neither offense really looked good at all. They were pretty much stuck in the mud, it felt like. At one point, Jamal Williams, the running back for the New Orleans Saints, he got injured, so he never came back in the game, but... in steps Tony Jones, the unheard of Tony Jones. He steps right in. He does end up with two touchdowns. Not a lot on the ground, but he was the saving grace for the Saints, because other than that, offensively, they looked pretty anemic, as did the Panthers as well. And I mean, you know, like I said, with Bryce Young, he's going to have some growing pains just because he's a rookie. And that Saints defense is damn good, so... he had his work cut out for him that night. And both defenses were so good, they actually both each had four sacks. So like I said, I knew it was going to be a defensive battle. It turned out to be one. And the New Orleans Saints ended up getting the win 20-17. And then the Cleveland Browns were at the Pittsburgh Steelers. This was another terrible ass game. This was even worse offensively than the New Orleans Saints-Carolina Panthers game. I mean, neither team could do anything on offense. It was just horrible. I will say, though, it's hilarious because I do want Deshaun Watson to fail. And so far, he looks like a trash can. I don't know what this dude is doing, but he looks like he's stuck in the mud. That's the way he looks like he's playing. He just runs out of desperation. He doesn't even try to read a defense. You know, lucky for him, he's got Amari Cooper and David Njoku out there to help catch, because those are the only two saving graces he has for himself, because other than that, this guy is terrible. He even had two face masks called against him when he was running. He grabbed the defender's face mask, so even the dumbest shit like that he gets called for. So he looked pretty terrible, so congratulations to him for being a terrible idiot. And then, of course, Nick Chubb, their running back, the only good thing about the Cleveland Browns offense, he suffered a terrible knee injury and is most certainly out for the season. And who knows, might be a career type of knee injury, just because it is something he has suffered before in his past. But I mean, you never know. These days, you could come back from a lot. But unfortunately, he will not be coming back this season. So that's a terrible blow to this already horrific offense for the Cleveland Browns. But I will say, the defensively, both the teams looked really solid. But the Pittsburgh Steelers defense really looked good. Cole Holcomb came right out on the first play of the game, and Deshaun Watson threw him an interception. It was one of those, you know, pops off the receiver's hands and into the cornerback. But still, it was hilarious. It was right off the bat. He scored a touchdown. He was in on a couple other plays as well, causing some turnovers and in on some sacks as well. So the Steelers defense looked pretty good. And then, of course, you have TJ Watt, who not only had a sack, but he actually ended up picking up a fumble and running it back for a touchdown, which was the first of his career, which says a lot, because also that night he became Pittsburgh Steelers' all-time leading sack leader. And that says a lot, because we all know the Pittsburgh Steelers are known for one thing and one thing only, and that's being great defensively, and they always have been from the jump. And for TJ Watt to be the all-time leading, the all-time sack leader for the Pittsburgh Steelers, that's a straight-up badge of honor. And in my opinion, just elevates you to, and I mean, it's very early on in TJ Watt's career, in my opinion, to even be saying this, but it really elevates you to a Hall of Fame type level. So that's just insane from him. But I mean, really, he's the only thing to cheer about for the Steelers, because other than that, their offense is terrible. They were lucky to walk away with the win, which they did. They got the win 26-22. But really, the only reason why they got the win is because Deshaun Watson just handed them the win. He threw a bunch of interceptions. He had this hilarious fumble where he just got the ball. He fumbles the ball, and then as he's going to try and reach for the ball, the defender just like grabs him by the waist and just swings his ass around. And when he gets up, you could just tell he had no idea where the fuck he was and just had this hilariously dazed and confused look on his dumbass face. But it was pretty hilarious to watch. And he just straight up gave this game away. I mean, it was all him. So that was pretty funny. But the Steelers were lucky to walk away with one. And it might be a minute before they get another win, because offensively, it's just bad for the Pittsburgh Steelers. All right, now moving on to some good teams in the NFL. Let's move on to the week two NFL power rankings, the top 10 NFL power rankings for week two. Let's start it off with no changes at the top this week. That would be my Dallas Cowboys. 2-0, undefeated, the best team in the league. And I know you can make arguments for them and the Niners, but you know what? It's my top 10 NFL power rankings. You see that name, that last name is my last name, so I can put whoever I want up there. But, you know, they do actually have the stats to back it up when it comes to a lot of things. But them and the Niners are close, and you could really make an argument for either team. And luckily, in about a month here, we're going to get to see them prove it on the field rather than just talk about it. But until then, we could just talk about it. And I've got the Cowboys at number one, of course. And it's just this defense, man. I mean, really, overall, the Cowboys are an extremely balanced team, at least at this point in these first two games. Defensively, they are the best defense in the league. They are just the quarterbacks running everywhere, you know, the running backs getting caught behind the line. It's really difficult for you to really even have a big play on them. The cornerbacks are really shutting down the receivers. And then, of course, we have Micah Parsons, you know, the beast Micah Parsons. So defensively, the Cowboys just look really good right now. They lead the league with five interceptions. They also have four forced fumbles, and then they're tied for the league lead with, believe it or not, the Washington Commanders with 10 sacks. So Cowboys defense looks great. And then you turn to the offensive side of the ball, and in my opinion, Mike McCarthy is doing a stellar job so far calling the plays. I really love that they've just slowed down the offense just to really make it easier for Dak Prescott, which is what you need to do. We don't need to make any insane, stupid plays. You just need to, you got CeeDee Lamb right open over there in the flat, or you've got to just turn around and give the ball to Tony Pollard, or, you know, we've got so many weapons. And then, of course, we've got the solid offensive line as well. So, and then, of course, the special teams. The special teams just looks as good as we did last year. We were blocking punts, blocking field goals last year, and now this year we've already got a blocked field goal for a return for a touchdown, and the new kicker looking pretty solid. So, I mean, the Cowboys looking pretty damn good, at least 2 weeks into the season. Then at number two on my top 10 NFL power rankings, the San Francisco 49ers. Overall record in 2-0 right now. Talk about defense. Their defense ain't nothing to fuck with either. I mean, they are so good. They're all over the field. They have four interceptions on the season, so they're looking really good defensively. But then you got to give it up to Christian McCaffrey. This guy has come right out the gate, and he is on fire. He's already got 268 yards on the ground and two touchdowns. And these aren't like little incremental, like 5 yards here, 3 yards there. No, the dude's getting bursts for like 20-plus yards, 40-plus yards. I think he even has one for 60 yards. So Christian McCaffrey is just looking really solid so far. There's always the issues with him with his injuries. So it's always with him, is he going to get injured? But so far, he looks excellent. And really, overall, the Niners' offense is just putting it together. You know, Deebo Samuel, he finally scored a touchdown this week, and he kind of was the go-to guy outside of McCaffrey in the receiving core. And they just have a lot of weapons, and Brock Purdy looking like he's fitting right in, and the team just really, really rallies around him. So the Niners, they also have a balanced attack and playing excellent football at this point, at this current point in time. Then at number three on my top 10 NFL power rankings are the Miami Dolphins, overall record of 2-0, and they are just killing it offensively. I mean, they are on fire. Their big three offensively cannot be stopped, and they are right at they either lead the league or right up at the top of the league in all their respective categories. So you got Tua, of course, he's looking phenomenal right now. He's just really opening it up. And he's got 715 yards and 4 touchdowns on the season. Then you got Raheem Mostert at the running back position. He's got 158 yards on the ground and 3 touchdowns and really just broke out last year. I kind of expected Mostert to do this. I mean, Mostert's always been a very solid back everywhere he's gone. And it's just the injury bug tends to get him. And so that's just always an issue with him. But until that happens, the guy is money. And then, of course, you've got Tyreek Hill, the human joystick. Dude's got 255 yards on the season and 3 touchdowns as well. So the big three for the Dolphins offensively looking really solid, not looking too shabby on the defensive side of things. And we'll see if the Dolphins are able to keep this up. But offensively, they are tops in the league. Then at number four on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Philadelphia Eagles, overall record of 2-0. And they're just doing what they do, getting it done on the ground. DeAndre Swift had a huge game last week. So far in the season, he's got 178 yards and a touchdown. So he's fitting right in with this, because their ground attack. Last year, that's what it was all about, their ground attack. And they're back at it. I mean, they lead the league in rushing yards. So they're right there. But also defensively, that's where I had the questions with the Eagles because they are getting up there. But so far, the reason why they've won these two games is because of that defense. The defense is making it hard for every quarterback. They're forcing turnovers. They're getting sacks. And they also have 6 forced fumbles on the season. So, and that leads the league. So they really, they're looking really solid defensively. Offensively, they aren't what they... You could tell they're still working it out still. I mean, now that the starters don't play in the preseason, the first month of football really is kind of sloppy because everybody's still kind of finding their way, even if you're a solid team like the Eagles, who are just coming off of a Super Bowl loss. So, you know, they were the best team in the NFC all last year. So it's not like they're a terrible team, but you still have to work your way into the season. And, you know, they've got a new offensive coordinator. So they're still doing that. But I think they need to really go back to just having Hurts run a lot. I don't know why they've gone away from that these last couple of games, but still they're 2-0. So I'm sure they will figure things out. Then at number 5 on my top 10 NFL power rankings are the Baltimore Ravens, overall record of 2-0. And Lamar Jackson just having a really solid year right now. He's got 406 yards and 2 touchdowns passing. And he's just been extremely efficient. He's not missing. And then, you know, he's got his new rookie out there, Zay Jones. And and he looks like he's going to do well. OBJ, of course, got injured this week. So we'll see if that kind of continues to be a theme for him. It really has been a theme for him for quite some time now. So who knows if they're going to be able to rely on him. But I mean, that's kind of the Ravens thing over the last like 5 seasons is they've just have to overcome the injuries. And they actually usually do. So as long as they've got Lamar Jackson, I think they're a solid team. And right now they look really good. And then, of course, defensively, they're usually always tops in the league, and so far they are really shutting it down. Then at number 6 on my top 10 NFL power rankings are the Kansas City Chiefs, overall record of 1-1. And speaking of teams that, you know, we all know are good but need to find their way, is the Chiefs. I mean, I completely forgot that they lost Eric Bieniemy in the offseason, their offensive coordinator. And so I just thought it was weird that their offense just hasn't been as electric as normal. It's not bad. It's not terrible. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is still having a great season. He's got 531 yards, 4 touchdowns passing so far. So he's having a great year. It's all on him, of course, and he's making the big plays. Defensively, they look a lot better than they have in the past. This might actually be the best Chiefs defense in the Patrick Mahomes era. So who knows? That could be a good thing. Offensively, they've looked very odd and just haven't had the same spark. And, you know, you kind of thought game one, it might have been because Kelce was out. But when I really actually thought about it and put two and two together, and I was like, oh, yeah, Bienemy is no longer with the Chiefs. That does change things up, even though Andy Reid really is the play caller. He's like the main, he technically is the offensive coordinator, and Bienemy was kind of like the secondary guy, but still, you could tell Mahomes really respected Bienemy. And not that he doesn't respect Reid, he obviously respects him too. It's just, you could tell they had a really solid relationship, and so it's obviously different this year for the Chiefs, but still, one of the best teams in the league. And like I said, defensively, they're looking really good. And now that they got Chris Jones back, who knows? This could be one of the top teams defensively in the league. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NFL power rankings are the Jacksonville Jaguars. Overall record of 1-1. They haven't been too bad. You know, I feel like they look like a Doug Peterson team. They look much improved, which is what you're supposed to do. Defensively, it's kind of shocking to me how good they are defensively, because I thought, you know, they were going to be an offensive force. But so far, it's really been all about their defense. So far, their defense actually has 4 forced fumbles on the season. So they're really actually getting at the ball and setting up the offense in good field position. So that's really been helpful. And it's just what I expected from the Jaguars. And so far, they played the Chiefs well, even though they lost to the Chiefs last week. They played them well all the way till the end. And so it's not like it was a runaway from the Chiefs. They were right there and could have easily taken that game away from the Chiefs, but they did not. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, a team I'm not really sold on, but they're still in the power rankings for me, and that's the Detroit Lions, overall record of 1-1. And, you know, they lost this week, and it wasn't a terrible loss, but it's still like, this is what Detroit does. That's why I didn't believe in them at the beginning of the year. They'll get the win against Kansas City, but then they'll lay an egg against the Seattle Seahawks at home and get beat at home in overtime. And that's what the Lions do. So until they change that narrative, I really can't believe in them. But they are still here in the power rankings because they are a solid team. I mean, that offensive line is probably the best in the league. So they do have that going for them. Then they have their defense, which isn't terrible, and they do play with heart. So there's a lot of positive things to say about the Lions, but it's just as I've said about them. I can't believe in them until they actually give me something to believe in. And their loss week 2 against the Seattle Seahawks actually wasn't surprising at all to me. It was kind of laughable, and I laughed and just said to myself, "This is why I don't believe in you guys." But who knows? There's plenty of season left, but that's why Katie don't believe in the Detroit Lions. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, a team I did not think I'd be talking about at all this season. Now, this might be the last week, or they might hang around for a couple more weeks, but I did not think I was going to be talking about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They are 2-0 right now, and, you know, Baker Mayfield's actually playing really, really well. He's not really being careless with the ball. He's blowing up plays. He's taking advantage of the, because, you know, the good thing for him is he's coming in with weapons. You know, he's got the good receiving core with Mike Evans, and then, you know, the offensive line not that good, but their defense really freaking good. They actually have 3 interceptions on the season, so defensively they're really taking care of business. And then just Baker's playing his heart out and just taking advantage. And then, of course, you got Mike Evans, who just continues to be a solid wide receiver and completely reliable, and proves it time and time again. But like I said, I didn't think I'd be talking about the Buccaneers, but I have to. It's undeniable because they actually have been winning big too. Not just you know, they barely beat the Vikings, but they still beat the Vikings at home. And so they've been getting some good wins, so got to give them a shout-out, at least for week 2. And then rounding out the top 10 NFL power rankings, another team I didn't think I was going to be talking about. But this is the third team from the NFC East that I'm going to be talking about, and that is the Washington Commanders. Did not think I'd be talking about them, but they are 2-0. I think they're a fake 2-0, though. I think at some point they're going to start to fall off, but you know what? We got to give it up to them because these two wins have actually been good wins. I mean, they barely got by the Arizona Cardinals, but, you know, last week in Denver, they were down by 21 points in Denver and slowly made a comeback. And defensively, they're actually looking really good. Like I said, to start the top 10 with the Cowboys, the Commanders are tied with the league lead in sacks with 10 sacks, and Chase Young only has played one game so far. So defensively, they're looking pretty solid. And then you have Brian Robinson in the backfield, who's got 146 yards and 2 touchdowns so far in the season. So I got to give it up to the Commanders. I don't think it's going to last. But until it doesn't, I got to give them their props. And like I said, that is the third NFC East team we have in this week's Top 10 NFL Power Rankings. So pretty tough division that the Cowboys are in as well. And that the Cowboys are dominating, by the way. Thank you very much. All right, now let's move on to the Thursday night football matchup, which is, going to say it now, going to be a snooze fest. Unless you're a San Francisco 49ers fan, you'll probably enjoy this one. It's going to be the New York Giants at the San Francisco 49ers. Right now, the Niners are a 10.5-point favorite. That's completely makes sense. That just makes sense to me just because not only are the Giants terrible, yes, they had that comeback win over the Cardinals last week, but that was over the Cardinals. They are a terrible team, and they will not have Saquon Barkley in this one, so that makes them even more of a terrible team. And the Niners are one of the best teams in the league, and I just kind of have a feeling this is going to be an ass-kicking from start to finish. I've got the final score, San Francisco 49ers winning 38-7. Don't ask me how the Giants are even going to score that 7 points. I wouldn't be shocked if it was 55-0, but I'm going to go 38-7. We'll say the Giants just magically get down the field at the end. We'll say like garbage time, they probably score 7 points. Is what happens there. But regardless, it's going to be an ass-kicking tomorrow in San Francisco. All right, now let's move on to the AP Top 10 college football rankings for the week. Not a huge shakeup. My Texas Longhorns have moved on up, so I'm pretty excited about that. But we also do have a couple of decent matchups to discuss over that are coming up over the weekend as well. So let's kick it off with number one, of course, still Georgia, still undefeated, 3-0. Did have a close call against South Carolina last week, only beat them 24-14. That is a low-scoring affair for Georgia, but they still got the win. And they will be playing against UAB this weekend. Then at number two, we still Michigan. They are 3-0, survived without Harbaugh. Actually did great without Harbaugh just won last week 31-6, and they will be going to play Rutgers this week, and Harbaugh will be back, so no issues there for Michigan. Then at number three, my Texas Longhorns, hook 'em horns, motherfucker, we keep moving on up, and it is spectacular. I love to see us up here, love to see us in the playoff position, you know, but I mean, we've got a long way to go, but love to just see this team moving up. You know, they've been starting off slow offensively every game so far, and a lot of people have issues with that, but to me, I don't think it's a big deal. I mean, defensively is what I really like to see from the Longhorns, is that they are actually making tackles. It's been a huge issue for them for many seasons now. And it's just nice to see them defensively really step it up. It's nice to see them not make really stupid plays offensively, especially at the quarterback position. You know, Quinn Ewers is having a solid year. So I'm excited what I'm seeing from my Longhorns, but we still got a long way to go. And we are at Baylor this week, so please do not overlook the rapists of Baylor. Then ranked at number four this week, we have Florida State, who just looks fucking fantastic so far on the season. They're 3-0. They did barely just eke by Boston College over the weekend, but they still won 31-29, and they will be at Clemson over the weekend. You know, Clemson ain't even ranked anymore. That's how bad Clemson is this year. But still, if I'm FSU, you do not overlook Clemson. So I still think that's going to be a good matchup. Not a ranked opponent matchup, but it's FSU better have their head on a swivel and make sure they don't lose to Clemson, because they are at Clemson, not in Florida. Then ranked at number 5, we have USC. They're 3-0, and they just keep on rolling, and they will be at ASU this weekend. Then ranked number 6, we've got Ohio State. They are still undefeated at 3-0, and they just also keep on rolling. And they have a big game this weekend against number 9 ranked Notre Dame, and they will be at Notre Dame. It's going to be a really good matchup, but I'm still leaning towards Ohio State. I think Ohio State's a much more solid team, but hey, man, don't be shocked if we get a really good game and maybe a really solid upset from Notre Dame, because Notre Dame actually isn't having a bad season at all. It's just, I don't know if I trust them against Ohio State, but we'll see. You know, Notre Dame has not beat Ohio State since, I think, 1936 or something crazy like that. So it's been a minute. So you're due, Notre Dame. Then ranked at number 7, we have Penn State. They are 3-0, and they just keep on rolling as well. They play 24-ranked Iowa this week, so they actually do have a pretty decent opponent. But, I mean, it's Penn State. They're playing really well. I expect them to get the win. Then ranked at number 8, we have Washington. They're 3-0, and they are having a great season as well. They play Cal over the weekend. And then at number 9, we have Notre Dame. They are having a great season, and they're 4-0 because they played in week 0, of course, in Ireland, I believe. And so, yeah, they're playing against OSU, so they are at home. I feel like that's a big advantage for them, but I don't know. You ain't beat them since the 30s, so you got to show us something. But still, Notre Dame looking pretty solid this year. And then rounding out the AP Top 10 in college football this week is the Oregon Ducks. They are 3-0, and they are having a what you would call a typical offensive year for Oregon. You know, they had a couple seasons where they were down there, but they seem to be back on their offensive game, and they have Colorado, number 19, Deion Sanders and company, coming to town. So this is a huge test for Deion Sanders and company. Now, real talk, what Deion has done with Colorado so far, in and of itself in 3 weeks, is amazing. Just because that team was 1-11 last year, Colorado ain't been shit, and just the ratings that they're getting are insane for their games. I mean, last week was the most streamed game ever on ESPN's streaming platform against Colorado and Colorado State at like a 9 o'clock time slot too. So that just goes to show you how exciting this team is and how exciting Deion's made it. But the turnaround has been excellent, just because, like I said, Colorado has been a laughingstock forever, but they were 1-11 last year. They were one of the worst teams hands down, and to get 3 wins already, it's an accomplishment. But you know, Coach Prime, he ain't taking just those 3 wins. You know, he's got his team ready for Oregon. But I would not be surprised if they come back down to earth this week. But I'm going to be rooting for Coach Prime and Colorado, because they've been so much fun to watch. His son Shador has been so much fun to watch. It's just great to see what Deion's done so far for Colorado, and looking forward to another good game for him. I mean, I didn't watch last week's just because the Longhorns were on too, so I'm Longhorns over everyone, of course, so that's what I was going with. But I watched the first 2, and I'm sure I'm going to watch this one if it's on TV, but I never thought in my life I'd be looking forward to watching Colorado-Buffalo games, but Coach Prime has absolutely done that. But that's no surprise at all. You know why? Because that's what he did when he was in the NFL. Hell, that's what he did when he was in baseball, and that's just what he does. We all want to watch him regardless of what he's doing. So keep it up, Coach Prime. Looking forward to the matchup this week. But regardless of what happens, I feel like it's an accomplishment. It's been a good season already for Colorado as it is. All right, guys. So that is the show. Enjoy Thursday night football, and we will talk week 3 on Friday.